So one way we might proceed is if you think that we captured the main issues in the memo for discussion, we could use that as the basis of our discussion today. And we can see if there's anything that we missed that any of the TEP members would like to add. And I'll just stop there and ask Patrick and all the TEP members, first of all, if there are any other issues that we didn't address in the memo, or if that's a viable approach to go through the call today.
Yes, I think it is a viable approach. I think that there was still some open controversy, perhaps, and debate regarding the definition. And so I'm not sure if you were it doesn't seem to have gotten into the summary memo. So I'm not sure how you were planning to handle that.
You mean the, well, we have the definition first. And there seemed to be pretty much agreement around the definition. The question came up about different types of composite measures and whether they would be considered a composite or not. Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly.
Right. And I think that's at the end of the memo. So, and you're right, I think that was the area with the most controversy, and we thought maybe we could get through some things more quickly early on, but we could certainly readjust. And I'll just mention that the way that we ended up handling that in the report is, and I think as we laid out in the memo, is where there was consensus or substantial consensus and agreement on what would be considered a composite, that that's what we would start with. In those areas where there's still controversy or lack of consensus, I guess our thought was that it's unlikely to happen in this call and that perhaps for now we'd leave those off and revisit them in the future. But I think that's certainly up for discussion. So maybe if we go to the
right. The reason, Karen, I would propose advancing it is I'm actually going to offer a proposal based on my own review of the comments, the survey, and other discussions. It may be completely rejected, but anyway, depending how we deal with these examples, it may simplify the rest of the discussion with respect to the specific criteria.
Okay, that's fine. So we can go, that starts at the bottom of page 4, the identification of composite performance measures. And Elisa, I think you've got it up on the webinar.
Yes. I hope everyone can see it.
Is there any way you can make that bigger, or what can we do at this point to make it bigger on our own screens?
I'm going to try and make it bigger, so just bear with me for just a second.
Okay. Oh, and I think we each have a way on our own webinar to make it larger as well. Okay.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
So probably we need to go to the next page. Based on the results of the survey, we had agreement where I think we've had agreement in the past is that certainly two or more individual performance measures that are combined into one score for a provider. There was agreement those were composites, as well as the all or none, and the flip side of that, a little less agreement, but still seemed to be agreement, the any or none, is where we had agreement that those would be considered composite performance measures. And the rest of that list, then there was a group that we would not be classified as performance measures. And keep in mind that this is for purposes of NQF endorsement in terms of submitting the measure, submitting information that would be needed to evaluate it and how it would be endorsed. So I'll stop there, Patrick, and if you want to, you know, talk with us about what your suggestion is, we'd like to hear that.
Sure. So I think that where there was some issue that people were having trouble with is the all or none versus any or none, and the all or none composites, it's kind of easier to see those as composites because they usually come out of separate process measures that are developed as individual measures. And then somebody says, well, you need to do all of these things, and then it turns into an all or none, quote unquote, composite. The any or none is a tougher problem because the way that usually happens is that people identify 10 different types of complications or adverse outcomes, and then they put it together and they call it a composite. And this is very classically done in clinical trials where we often have outcomes that represent any of three or four different related outcomes. So I think that as I was thinking about these all or none and any or none measures and applying them against the criteria that we've discussed, I'd like to propose that instead of viewing these measures as composites, perhaps we should just view them as individual measures, and that they should be submitted and reviewed and endorsed in just the same way as individual are currently reviewed. Because if you take apart almost any NQF measure, there's Boolean logic within that measure. And so I'm having a little trouble with where we draw the line as to when that Boolean logic raises it to the level of a composite. Fundamentally, the performance metrics, the reliability metrics, the validity metrics for these composites should be, if we call them composites, they should be the same type of metrics that we would apply to an individual measure. So I'm not sure in the case of these all or none or any or none, I've just been wrestling with how the criteria apply and whether it's necessary to apply the criteria, because as I go back and look at the traditional NQF endorsement criteria, I think all of those criteria can be applied to these any or none or all or none measures no differently from the way they would be applied to individual measures that don't happen to have that Boolean logic. So that's my proposal on the table to kind of reconcile that what seems to be an artificial distinction between these any or none and all or none and non-Boolean measures.
Patrick, this is Sherry. I'm now more confused than I was before. And for, you know, again, I think we all have to think in terms of measurement science, and I'm coming from, as somebody trained in psychometrics, I'm coming from that perspective, but as somebody who's now, right now, teaching a course in measurement to clinicians, I know that there are, you know, formative versus reflective types of measures. Reflective types of measures are multiple items that reflect the same construct. Formative measures are ones that maybe shouldn't even hang together, but they all cause some latent construct. So like, you know, losing your house and having your house burned down and having your wife divorce you and all that stuff causes stress, but they may not hopefully be related to each other. So that's formative. Reflective are mood disturbance and sleep disturbance and feeling sad and blue. All that stuff reflects depression. Anything with more than one element to measure in it that is more than one measure is required to either reflect or create a formative model, to me, is a composite. And I'm sorry, I don't get the scoring of these measures is irrelevant. How they're scored is irrelevant. Anything that has more than one measure in it to create it is a composite. How it's done, how it's scored after that is to me irrelevant. So I think that we're getting hung up on the wrong thing. I think that, you know, when we've got multiple things, if we're going to stick with a formative model, okay, but still the scoring of that multi-item construct doesn't matter. What matters is it is multi-item.
Well, but you see, it's a semantic argument whether it's multi-item or not, and that's the point, that it's not. So I would say that these kinds of things that people call composites aren't necessarily either formative or reflective. In other words, people may say, when I go into the hospital for a surgery, I don't want to have a heart attack. I don't want to die. I don't want to be ignored when I have pain. There may be no correlation between those three things. They may not be measures of any underlying construct, but they all reflect things that patients value. And so one may choose to put them together, and you get into a kind of a semantic argument. So if you're talking about complication measures, there are five different complications that you have, and one person may say that it's a single measure because it's whether or not a person has complication. Another person may say that it's five measures because you can disentangle it into five different types of complications. And fundamentally, that comes down to a semantic argument. So that's why I'm trying to suggest a way to avoid that semantic argument. In other words, by saying that if you're constructing a measure based on a list of 5 or 10 items, and you're calling this, a measure of complications or a measure of adverse outcomes or whatever you want, that we can evaluate that just as we would evaluate any ordinary NQF measure. We can evaluate its reliability, its validity, so forth, as a single measure.
No, see, first of all, I disagree. It's not semantic. It's conceptual, and that's very important as a conceptual argument. What you just described is a formative – Alvin Feinstein would agree. It's a formative model for how those measures should go together. You wouldn't necessarily test them for how much they agree with each other because they can be very unique. In the mortality argument, you know, you can't be dead and have complications. I guess you could if you were dead from the complications, but – you know what I mean? It's a formative model, and there are ways that you test formative models. The assumption it's formative. You wouldn't do, for example, a Cronbach's alpha on those kinds of measures. So I think there's a basic disagreement here that we should understand that one type of measure is formative, where the things are being added up in index form, and together they represent a composite, but they wouldn't be tested in the same way a reflective model, the assumptions of a reflective model would. But a multidimensional reflective model is, again, you would test that very differently from a formative model in the one you described.
Okay, well, I guess we may just disagree. The argument that I'm trying to make, it seems to be failing, but the argument to me is that whether, again, to get back to the example of complications, one person may view, one user, one stakeholder may view complications as being a single measure. Another person, another stakeholder may view it as being 10 different measures that are put together with 10 different types of complications. And that, to me, I mean, yes, we can ask developers to declare what their view is, but at the end of the day, that is essentially an arbitrary choice, and some developers may choose to say that it's a list of 10 that are scored any or none. Another developer might choose, given the same design of the indicator, to call it a single measure. So that's why I was saying that we could simplify our task by just saying that these are simple measures if they're constructed using Boolean logic.
I don't want to get into like a tangle on this, but I think NQF, you should ask the measures developers to declare whether or not they're assuming a formative or a reflective model as how they perceive it, because you're adding up things to create a single score. That's how you're scoring items, not whether or not you have a multi-item measure that you're using to create a composite. Again, in the example of losing your house, going to jail, being divorced, the stressful life events type thing, those things would not necessarily, they would be added up to create, because they cause stress, a composite, but you would never consider them a single item, a single measure. They're using multiple measures to evaluate a latent construct. That latent construct is a single construct, but I'm having a hard time with what you're proposing, I guess.
There are lots of single items out there in all measurement domains of whether a bad thing happened to someone. And again, the clinical trials field is full of those kinds of measures that are where several different outcomes are put together into a single measure. And fundamentally, when we power clinical trials, when we design clinical trials, with those measures, we treat it as a single outcome.
Yeah, it's not whether they're a single construct. I think we're messing again with our language. They're a single construct, but they're not a single item.
Patrick, this is Jim Chase.
Yes, please. I'm done talking for a while.
Me too.
I was in trying to understand what you were proposing there in the first bullet points. If I'm understanding the first two in this paragraph, that you're saying the second one maybe we don't need to do. And I was getting a little caught on that because I have been, again, putting this through the screen of part of what we're trying to accomplish here is to give guidance to the measure stewards that are submitting this information about where they have to go through these extra steps, and for the NQF itself about trying to minimize where we're capturing this, where there's going to be extra work being done. It sounds like you wanted to get, you're saying maybe both all or none measures and any or none don't have to be included. I've been more on the side of thinking any or none measures is where it really gets foggy for me, because I think I'm understanding your point. I can see lots of practical examples where I can make it seem as if it's an any or none, but it's really something where there's just multiple options of meeting that particular measure. Like for a high lipid level, either the lipid is under control or you're on a statin. To me, that is not a composite. That's just two ways to get to the same endpoint. Whereas putting together blood pressure control with a lipid control that would generally be an all or none. That is a composite, and I'd like to see the extra steps being done about what's the reliability when those two are combined. So I guess I was just expressing, I'm more with you if we were saying, I know there was some disagreement about this, but any or none, if it might be helpful for us to at least provide a little guidance about it doesn't rise to the level of being classified as a composite if it's really something that is multiple ways to achieve the same outcome.
Right. But this is Karen Pace, and I'd like to just, to date, NQF has had any or none measures that have typically been a list of complications. But sometimes that list might include readmission and mortality and then some other kinds of complications. And typically, we have considered readmission and mortality as individual measures, even though in this case they might be just at the patient level. And so it gets a little tricky when And actually, we haven't had any to date, but you could conceive of any or none measures that would be process measures where it could be things that would designate overuse or inappropriate care. So did the patient receive any of these processes that would be overuse or inappropriate? And so, you know, to make a decision based on, you know, the one example we've had of any or none, which is a list of complications, it makes it a little difficult to move it to make that decision, you know, whether that's a composite or not, based solely on what the topic is.
This is Nancy. I am more comfortable in thinking about the definition of a composite if we actually go back to our original definition, which was that a composite was some kind of aggregation of multiple concepts, and that you could have measures of concepts. And so the any or none measure fails for me because, and as well as the all or none, quite frankly, because it's one concept, such as prevention. And I know that some of this is semantic, but if we ask the developers to respond to guidance on composites by having them first discuss their conceptual model that involves more than one component or concept, then I think it's helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. That I think more clearly expresses what I was trying to say. And I think where this gets into the criteria is that we have proposed criteria that focus on disentangling the composite and establishing the reliability or the validity of individual components of the composite. But if
Patrick, I thought you are the way we've written this up, and I thought the TEP agreed that we aren't going to focus on the reliability of the individual components, that we want reliability to be addressed at the performance.
I meant validity.
Okay.
So if the in the case of an any or none or all or none composite, I think it could be argued that what matters, if it's a single concept, as Nancy has pointed out, what matters is the validity of the measure as a whole, not the validity of the individual components that go into the construction of the measure. So if it's viewed as a single measure, then it simplifies the task, potentially, because then each of the components don't have to be viewed individually, because they're simply pieces of the whole.
Liz, I'm trying to follow, and I'm sorry I didn't get on until just a few minutes ago.
Is that Liz?
Yes. I'm sorry,
okay.
You can't hear me?
Yes, I just wanted to make sure whose voice that was. Thank you.
But are we discussing whether or not to consider an any or none or all or none measure a composite? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. Yes, we're actually jumped to the last section of the, or almost the last section of the memo about what kinds of measures actually would fit our idea about what's a composite performance measure that would require the two additional criteria that we've been talking about, the one about, under importance of describing the quality construct rationale and how the weighting and scoring fit that, and then probably more importantly, the one under scientific acceptability, the additional analyses to support the measure construction, which would vary depending on kind of the model of those components. So we are discussing, you know, based on the survey that we did, there seemed to be two areas of agreement, and one with a little less agreement, and then the areas that there was either agreement they were not composites or no agreement. So, but we are talking about the all or none or any or none types of measures, which are basically computed at the patient level, scored at the patient level versus taking already scores and combining them, and whether those should be in the composite group.
And the proposal briefly that I put on the table, Liz, was that at least the any or none composites, which are the most controversial here, perhaps also the all or nones, but at least the any or nones, should be really viewed as single measures and should be submitted, evaluated, and endorsed just as any single measure would be.
I have trouble buying that, and I don't want to be obstructive, but these are individual performance measures that all need to be collected. If you're designing the IT system, a questionnaire or whatever, each one of these measures has to be collected in order to calculate and compose into one measure all of them. So it's hard for me to argue that that would be one measure. I mean, it's a composite measure to me, a composite of a bunch of things that had to be collected.
Yeah, this is Sherry again. I hate to beat this drum to death, but for when we were putting together the total illness burden index, we have multiple chronic conditions, each of which has a severity score, and we put that together as a composite. You wouldn't assume that because somebody has arthritis, they necessarily have COPD or anything else. So when you evaluate it, the reliability test you have to do is intra-class correlation. You have to say if it discriminates people with, you know, one physician's cadre of a physician's panel from another physician's panel. Do they have sicker patients? So you would do intra-class correlation. You still have to subject it to reliability testing. It's because it's formative, it's a different kind of reliability testing. And anything that's multidimensional items that measure a single construct is a multi-item measure, and it is a composite. And I still think that the scoring of it, all or none, any or none, is irrelevant when you're taking multiple items and creating a single measure that measures a construct.
Well, I think we may just not come to agreement on this. I think the example that I gave before you came on, Liz, was in clinical trials that you and others have worked on, we often have what you might call a composite outcome, which might be based on, for example, having a non-fatal stroke or a non-fatal MI. And those may be collected through separate methods. You might be able to quantify those two outcomes separately. But when you design your trial, when you power your trial, when you report the trial, you report them as a single outcome. And at the end of the day, what matters is the performance at a single outcome. So from the standpoint of NQF committees evaluating a measure, I think that their focus should be on evaluating that as a single outcome measure, not trying to disentangle all the pieces and reconstruct it.
Patrick, I think you always make very, very good points, but I would suggest that when we do these outcomes that consist of several different outcomes, we actually call them composite outcomes. And it's rare that we analyze them and don't look at the individual ones in addition. But I think your first statement was right on target. I think there are a few things in this document that we're never going to have total agreement on, and this may be one of them.
So I think the question for us, you know, from the survey, there seemed to be more agreement on these than some of the other things. But, you know, we need to figure out how to go forward. So do we just focus on the things where we have agreement and have a plan to monitor the other things? Or, you know, if it's there's some substantial agreement, for example, on, you know, any or none, all or none, or any or none, put them in the composite bucket and monitor. I just, you know, I think we're not going to reach total agreement, as has already been pointed out, but what's our path forward in terms of, you know, being able to proceed? You know, one of the key issues that we had in terms of this project to begin with is leaving it up to individual developers created a lot of inconsistency and perhaps in some cases or in some eyes a lack of fairness. And we need to try to do something that we can be consistent across, you know, NQF staff, steering committees and developers, and, you know, really signal ahead of time what the expectations are. So I'll stop and see what your suggestions are.
This is Sherry again. What are the consequences of a false positive and a false negative for NQF?
So the question of a false positive, I think, is what Patrick's been laying out, that if we don't need that extra information for a particular measure, it's more information for the developer to provide, more information for staff and steering committees to sift through. The false negative means that maybe we aren't fully evaluating a measure as we should be. You know, I don't know if I know the consequence of that. You know, this is not a perfect process or science to begin with, but I guess others may have some other ideas about the consequences.
This is Dave. Nothing that's come out of any NQF task force has been perfect, and this isn't going to be perfect. I think we need to do the very best we can, try to get consensus. I like the category in the survey you sent around. I can live with it. And I think if somebody really has a strong scientific objection and can make a good case for it, that's one thing. But if absent that, I think we ought to do the best we can and come to reasonable consensus and call it a day.
This is Nancy. I think the only thing to do in this circumstance is to make a call that will allow developers to know what their tasks are, because and then monitor the growth of the discussion and the science around this, because if you're going to not have confusion reign in the committees, then there needs to be calls made about whether this should go through the composite, this particular indicator should go through the composite process or not. So I think clarity and directions is the thing to strive for at this point, and just not move forward on the areas. Or don't include the areas in which there's deep division. That probably wasn't very clear, because I'm calling for clarity.
No, I think that's, you know, what we're aiming to do is to you know, make the best approach, you know, that we can, at knowing what we do at this point, and minimize any of the undue burden. I think that's the main negative, or main consequence that might be a concern is adding more burden when it may not be necessary.
Then that's certainly a vote in favor of not calling the any or none or all or none a composite. And I imagine most of us can, well, I can live with that if you don't want to call it a composite.
But why don't we see what the majority of members feel about it?
Okay, we could go down our list on the. So what we're talking about is the whether the any, and I don't know if you want to do these separately or together. The any or none or all or none. Whether those should be considered composites, and I think we always need to put the caveat that we're talking about this in terms of NQF measures, submission, evaluation, and endorsement. So I don't think anyone would argue that it's a combination of things. It's whether it requires additional information and evaluation in terms of NQF endorsement at this stage. So does that, and I guess, are you suggesting that we go kind of a roll call and ask for people's opinion right now, David?
Well, I guess I would say that, first of all, we have to ascertain whether there is an absolute compelling scientific argument one way or the other, and I've heard arguments on both sides of that. I'm not convinced that there is, and I personally lean towards calling these composites. But I'd like to get a sense of the group as a whole, where people are leaning. I think if there's absolute compelling scientific evidence one way or the other, then I think that's one thing. But in this case,
okay.
I think one can make arguments on both sides that are cogent.
And given that, I mean, we did ask this question on the survey, but I think there's been more discussion and suggestions. So why don't we just go down our list and see where people do a straw poll, see where people stand on whether these should or should not be considered composites for NQF purposes. So I'll just start with top of my list, Patrick.
I think I've stated my view that I believe that these should be evaluated as single measures. They should not be. They should be put to NQF for evaluation, but they should be evaluated as the yes-no concepts that they are at the patient level.
Okay. Liz DeLong?
I believe they're composites.
Okay. John Berkmeyer is not on the call. Dale Bratzler, have you joined us? Okay. Jim Chase?
I'm torn by this because I can live with it the way it is. I'm still compelled, Patrick, by your argument about I could see them being left out, but I'm also interested in this idea of alpha and beta errors on this, and I would suggest that we leave them in now because I think the they may be reviewed as composites and may be more rapid. It's not as onerous in that review, but I think we should get a little experience with reviewing more of them. So I'm going to vote leave them in.
Okay. Nancy?
I'm going to vote that both of them are not composites.
Okay. All right. Liz Goldstein?
Yeah, I would treat them as single measures and not composites.
Okay. Sherry?
Yeah, I vote that they very definitely are composites.
Okay. And has Lynn Padgett joined us? Okay, Dave Sheehan?
Composite.
Okay. Steve Wright, did he join us?
Yes, and both are composites.
And Alan Jeslavsky, have you joined us? Okay, so according to my numbers here, we have 1, 3 no's and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yes. And several people, of course, missing. So let's go on to some of the other issues, because maybe when we talk about the criteria specifically, that may shed additional light on this. But any suggestions? I know that that's not an overwhelming majority, and we are missing a few members' vote there. We can also follow up after this call with another vote on that, if that would be useful.
I mean, I'm willing to admit that, you know, I can see arguments on both sides, and that I but I tend to lean towards calling them both composites. Of the people that felt that they shouldn't be composites, you know, are there any absolutely rigid empirical evidence that it should be considered as an individual measure, or is it more just that you're sort of leaning in that direction?
Well, I think we can probably move on our specific implications for some of the guidance related to the specific criteria. So,
right. Okay. And before we move on, in terms of the list that we currently have that would not be considered composites for purposes of NQF, measure submission, evaluation, and endorsement, those also are on that same page, and let me see if, yeah, Elisa, could you move to that list? The following will not be classified, right. Are there any areas that people want to discuss before we move on?
Well, okay. I think I would say I think that that you did the right thing to kind of set these aside. The multiple linked steps is basically just an, as I understand, it's basically just an all or none composite in which the steps are viewed as pieces of the same component or domain of quality. So that's just kind of a special case of the all or none situation.
Right. I think that's a good observation, and we kind of toyed with that of whether the, you know, those should be considered all or none, because, you know, you can look at it that way. That may be another argument in terms of how we view these, because, but good point, I think.
And
okay, well, let's.
There was our advocate for treating shrinkage or adjustment as a composite, but I got the sense from reading other people's comments, and particularly David's comments were helpful, that, that probably that's not the sense of the majority of the committee.
Right, and I think, you know, again, that seemed to have even more controversy or division or agreement that they were not. So, you know, again, this is not something that will be set in stone, and as we continue to get more experience with those types of measures, we may, you know, in the future think of them differently. But, okay, so I think maybe related to the conversation that we're having and where the most impact, so getting back to the question of what's the consequence of categorizing something as a composite measure, I think for me it relates mostly to the additional analyses that we would be interested in for composite performance measures, which comes as item 2D. And Elisa, if you want to move to that on the webinar, and anyone else that's following on their own documents, it was on page 4 of the memo. Actually, it starts on the bottom of page 3, sorry. So the idea is that, you know, we do have criteria for reliability and validity, and you know, we can certainly talk about them again, but those are basic criteria applied to any performance measure, including these composite performance measures that we've already talked about, you know, would best be demonstrated for the composite measure as a whole. But in addition to that, there would be some expectation that there would be empirical analyses to support the composite construction. So this is, I think, where the additional burden could be, or maybe we'll find that these things just don't fit at all for certain types of measures that may make us revisit our prior decision. So we want some analyses that would show that the component measures fit the quality construct and add value to the overall composite. The second one was that the aggregation and weighting rules are consistent with the quality construct and rationale. And the third one was the extent of missing data and how the specified handling of missing data minimizes bias. So I think, you know, as we've been discussing these and working on these, those are great ideas, but the devil is in the details. So what does that actually mean in terms of what we would expect? And we had some discussion about if the components are correlated, and this would be, if we're talking back in terms of model terms, the reflective model. So if the components are correlated, and then you would have analyses that are based on shared variation, factor analysis, item-tilde correlation, Cronbach's alpha in this category. But if the components are not correlated in what could be considered formative, then analyses demonstrating the contribution of each component to the composite score, correlation of the individual component measures to a common outcome measure were some suggestions that were made. You know, of course, in the example we've been talking about, if it's a composite of outcomes, such as complications, what would those analyses be? So I think the question that we're left with is, you know, if these are really criteria, we need to be able to apply them and give examples of what kinds of analyses we would really be expecting. So we always come back to, you know, the reflective or what people have called psychometric model, where you can do the analyses based on correlations to identify whether those components really add value. But how do these criteria translate when we're talking about a formative model, R and all or none? Do they really require anything beyond reliability and validity testing of the composite measure? So I'm going to stop there and see what your thoughts are about this. Additional analyses that we would want for composite performance measures.
Well, one thing that I think you may have already covered, but that would be the sensitivity of the composite to eliminating some of the components.
Okay, and so that would be, so for example, we have examples of, for number two, in terms of are the aggregation and weighting rules, so you're saying that we could have some sensitivity analysis for the component measures also if it's a formative model?
In terms of how they contribute to the overall, if they don't, if leaving one out doesn't change the overall, then it's not necessary to be in there.
Ah, okay.
This is Sherry. It depends on the purpose of measurement. And if they're trying to, if, for example, the purpose of measurement is to distinguish one physician's quality from another physician's quality or in one, you know, one hospital from another hospital, you should at least ask for some interclass correlations that show you that, you know, there is consistency within a hospital and differentiation between hospitals or within a physician and differentiation between physicians for those kinds of formative measures.
Right. Right. But isn't that also true for a reflective measure? Because, I mean, that's our basic criteria for reliability of the composite measure. That's what your recommendation was, that for any composite performance measure, they should be able to distinguish performance. And that is the goal of any NQF endorsed performance measure.
And I think if we've done that earlier up in the screen, that's exactly right. So, you know, whatever. But that kind of analysis, different from the kind of latent variable analysis for reflective models, that kind of, you know, interclass correlation models often used for these more formative models as well.
So I think I guess I'll push this a little further. If we say that the composite performance measure should have a demonstration of reliability, meaning at the for the overall composite, and that we're really focusing on the performance measure score and looking at this issue of variability within providers versus between, and we say that validity should be demonstrated for the computed composite score, that it actually reflects quality, then do we need to ask for additional analyses as we've just outlined here? Or is it only in the very special case that it is the reflective, is it only applicable to the reflective model? I mean, the missing data is an issue, I think a bigger issue for composite performance measures. It certainly can be an issue for single measures. I think it gets sometimes multiplied when you're talking about composite performance measures. You know, that's maybe a different issue, but I guess certainly the one and two,
And Karen, I'm keying on the fact that we're using the word quality construct in this criterion 2D. So does the use of that word imply that there is a latent construct that and therefore it really is consistent with a reflective measurement model?
Right, but can't I think that you can use the term quality construct for a performative model as well, can't you?
Sure. I mean, I would argue that, back to Patrick's point, I think that the issue here is whether a composite adds you anything versus an individual measure, individual measures, or whatever the criterion of record is. Because if this is about composite measures, then even for a formative model, you're trying to add things together that collectively do a better job of measuring quality than some single item, individual item that either has been used in the past, like mortality, or broken out helps you in some different way. The composite has to do a better job than something else.
But a better job, I agree. But is it necessarily a better job at capturing a latent construct? And couldn't it just be a better job at maximizing patient utility, helping patients balance different competing hazards?
I view latent constructs as all of what you just said. I mean, you know, quality is the latent construct I assume NQF is trying to measure. And
right.
Quality for a specific purpose is a different issue. Quality for helping patients make decisions, quality for, you know, paying physicians differentially based on performance. You know, all of those things are differential applications, but, you know, the underlying construct I assumed was quality.
Right. I think that's the case. I mean, even, Patrick, you still have to come up, and that's, you know, going back to our criterion 1B, what is the quality construct and what's included in that? So these are all about quality to some extent.
Right, but the purpose, it's sort of a timing issue, right? So if we think that there is some unobserved latent construct of quality, but if what we're trying to do is to come in at a later point, basically, and help consumers with the fact that provider A has a higher mortality rate, provider B has a higher complication rate, and provider C has worse functional outcomes. And so our composite may provide a tool to help patients understand how to maximize their utility, even if the quality is separately driving each of those pieces. But the purpose of the composite is not to measure a single construct of quality. It's to help patients enhance utility.
But your quality construct could be conceptualized as multi-component that involves function, complications, and whether you survive. So, again, I mean, I think it, you know, I guess, that, you know, we still need that description of what the composite, what the quality construct is, however the developer is defining that, and the rationale, and the score, how the scoring and weighting and what's included match that, which we do have. In the 1B, and I think there was absolutely a lot of agreement on that. There was actually quite a bit of agreement on this 2B. I'm just wanting to kind of see if there was anything else, or if you had any other suggestions of, you know, whether we really can expect analyses in these areas, or if it's just a discussion, how does that discussion differ from what we asked for in describing the quality construct rationale and how it's put together? do people agree that that there are empirical analyses that can be done to